Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's good to see everybody here.
Amen.
Almost everybody here. People keep trickling back and from week to week, and that's great.
Amen.
And we're just about up to full complement now. I'd like to welcome everybody that's watching on Facebook this morning.
Amen.
And this is the Lexington Christian Church worship service being sent out live. And we're more or less alive here. Oh, it is good. It's good to see everyone here. Just a few announcements this morning. The Christmas Light Committee will meet. They'll have a short meeting after church this morning. And anyone who's involved in music last Christmas or who would like to be involved in putting some of the background music on for our display this coming Christmas, we'll meet after church also, and then within the next couple of weeks, we'll be recording the soundtrack to go with the light program. Let's see, Historical Society is not meeting until further notice, so we won't be concerned with that for a little while anyway. There's a copy of the latest executive order on from the. Governor Whitcomb, Holcomb, wrong generation.
Oops.
It's on the half round table out there in the foyer. If you want to take a look at it, some of the pertinent points are highlighted. And of course, that's always subject to change from week to week anyway. But we ought to keep it on top of it. Do we have any birthdays this morning or this week? Yes, we do. We have one, Miss Kathy. Anybody else? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Anniversaries. You're going to get her twice. Good. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many
more, indeed. Morning, Bernice. What did you do with Leroy? I was going to have him sing this morning. Well. Getting that new camper set up?
No, he's working.
Hmm. Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Couldn't be in better company.
Amen. Jesus is here.
He is, and so are we. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. Number 36, let's stand and sing.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Oh, Christ the Lord.
Amen.
holy, holy, Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
We lift our hearts before you as a token of our love. Holy, holy. Let's sing number 50. As a token of our love, holy, 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 holy. Gracious Father, gracious Father, we're so blessed to be your children, gracious Father. And we lift our heads before you as a token of our love. Gracious Father, gracious Father. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus. We're so glad that you've redeemed us, precious Jesus. And we lift our hands before you as a token of our love. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts anew, Holy Spirit. And we lift our voice before you as a token of our love. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. And we lift our hearts before you as a token of our love. Holy, 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 holy. Brother Mitch, will you take us to the Lord in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Father in God, we thank you so much for your many, many blessings, which we cannot express. Lord, if we sit down to name the many gifts, blessings that you give us, it would take all of eternity for us to thank you for everything you do for us, every moment of every day, because every breath we breathe is a gift from you. Every step that we take is a gift from you. Lord, you are so good. You are holy, holy. Lord, we do ask that your Holy Spirit comes and fills this place this morning. Touch every heart. Move us closer to you. Lord, put a burden within our hearts for all that's happening in our world right now, that we may fall to our knees and cry out to you for America, that we may, as your people, as your representatives on earth, that we may repent as the prophets of old did for their nation. Lord, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Our communion hymn this morning is number 263, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed? The tune may be a little different from one you're thinking of. The words are familiar, so we shouldn't have any problem, even though it is a new song, partially new song for us this morning. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut his glories in, when God the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. Amen. Brother John, will you bring some meditation this morning, please?
This meditation I found online, and I cannot credit the person that wrote it because there was nothing there. So, you probably know the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. I don't know about you, but I've certainly experienced that is true, and that it is so very easy to take every day and familiar parts of your life for granted. A beautiful view, your health, stable employment, etc. This becomes more serious, however, when it comes to the persons that are part of our lives, and we undervalue the trustworthiness of a friend, the love of a spouse or child, the guidance and support of a parent, and so on. Simply because they are reliably close to us, it seems, we don't think of them as special. Of course, sometimes that tendency to take things and people near us for granted grows into something more sinister. Sometimes we feel threatened when people close to us do well, as if their success is a comment on our mediocrity. We can fall into a zero-sum culture, where one's person's gain is necessarily another person's loss. Why is it that? Why do we despise the ordinary, take for granted the reliable, and feel threatened by the success of those nearby? I think it stems from a basic human insecurity, not sure of the place in the world. We fall into the insidious habit of establishing our sense of identity and self-worth by comparing ourselves to others. Which means, of course, the only way for us to do better is for others to do worse. This is part of why Jesus came, of course, to show us that our identity and sense of self-worth are gifts from God to be received with joy, not prizes to be won in competition with others. But these folks, and many more then and now, have a hard time believing it. And so committed is Jesus to sharing this good news, he will do anything to demonstrate it, even die on the cross. Let's pray. Dear God, provide us with ears to hear Jesus' message of good news and eyes to see your profound love for us and all others, that we may escape the cycle of insecurity and mistrust in which it is so easy to get caught up in. In Jesus' name, amen.
When Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room to eat the Passover, Jesus took bread and broke it, blessed it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat ye of it." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, he took it, giving thanks, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you." Amen. Number 118, faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword.
Amen.
Let's sing in praise of our Lord.
Faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword.
This morning, so Brother John, would you like to read scripture for us in preparation for the sermon?
Today's reading is from Matthew 13, verses 53 through 58, a prophet without honor. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began preaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. "Where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers?" they asked. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? When then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home." And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith.
Amen. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, I tell you what. So much going on in our world today. And, you know, I want to say this again. I say it all the time. But even though, you know, the governor's new law or executive order is out about wearing masks and social distancing, it's not required in here to wear a mask, but you're welcome to if you choose to do so. I wear the mask of Jesus. It's all the protection I need. You know, this rioting and all of these issues of bitterness and hatred that we're seeing even next door in Louisville, and I'm sure there's some in Indianapolis and all around us, it's something we all should be praying about. So don't waste a moment to take time to pray for our nation. All right, as we continue here in our study of the book of Matthew and the life of Jesus. You know, Jesus had just taught all of these parables, trying to help people to grasp more about what the kingdom of heaven is about, what the kingdom of heaven is like. He wants us to have that knowledge in us. He wants us to know that the kingdom of heaven is about saving souls. It's about us going out and taking the net, searching for that treasure and that pearl of much value. He wants us to dig into the scriptures, but he also wants us to take what we learn and go out and share it with others and bring them in. Now, Jesus had just taught all of these things, and then he goes back to his hometown, perhaps even to put into practice some of what he was teaching. You think about this. Here he just taught about the significance of the kingdom of heaven. He just taught about winning souls. He talked about searching yourself for the kingdom of God through these parables. And then he comes to his hometown and people are like, "Huh, who do you think you are? I know you. You're that little rugrat that used to run around and in your dad's shop while he was working as a carpenter. And there's all your brothers over there. There's your sisters over there. I mean, there's your mom." You know, Joseph's not mentioned at this point, so many people expect that he had already passed on from this life at that point. And that's why he's not mentioned as well as the rest of his family. But, you know, here we have his own hometown and the people, because they knew him as a child, because they knew him growing up, they have a hard time accepting. But you know, I've experienced that. I know what that's like. People I grew up with, when I tell them I'm a preacher, they're like, "Really?" Yeah, so you know, I know what that's like. But Jesus made this written down for us so that we know to expect that. We know that it's difficult to win your own family. Anybody experienced that besides me? Difficult to win your own family? Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. They think Yeah, right. Who do you think you are? I remember you doing this, and I remember you saying that, and I remember you. Yeah, right. Don't judge me. Don't tell me what I should do. But here's the thing. When Jesus got up in the synagogue and began to preach and to teach, it says they were amazed. Now, you think about that. These people had heard all kinds of rabbis, all kinds of teaching that had come in. There'd been traveling rabbis before that had come through and stood up and spoke and taught from the Word of God. But when Jesus, the one they all know, gets up and speaks, they're amazed. They're like, wow, where did he get all of this wisdom? Where did he get all of this knowledge? Isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't this his brothers and his sisters and his mom? We know all about you. We saw you growing up here. And you didn't go to Bible college. You didn't sit at the feet of one of the famous rabbis. Where did you get this wisdom? Where did you get this knowledge? I mean, you're just a carpenter. You're not a prophet. Well, rather than thinking about, wow, listen at him. He's smart. He's teaching us things that are good. We should listen to him. No, that's not their thought. Their thought was, who does he think he is? I mean, come on. You're saying different things than the other rabbis say. And yeah, it sounds good, but it can't be right. You're just a carpenter. Folks, it's a challenge for us as Christians today still to reach people with the gospel. And, you know, you think about the prophets of old and the apostles even, when they used to teach the word of God, miracles happened. And people were more prone to accept that, yeah, this is an act of God. But when all you do is use the word of God to convince people, without any miraculous intervention, it's tougher, a lot tougher to get people to believe. Because I've even had people ask me, okay then, if you want me to believe in your God, cure my cancer. And I'm like, did I say I was God? I can't cure anything. I have a hard time taking care of myself. Well, don't talk to me about your God then if you can't heal me. I'm like, come on. God can heal you. God can heal you. And he may heal you, but he's not going to as long as you've got that attitude. You know? He's not going to honor that. We have to put faith in him. We have to show gratitude and appreciation. And that's still no guarantee that he's going to heal us. But it is a guarantee that if we die, we're going to heaven to be with him. And that's the best gift of all. That's better than being healed, folks. You know, people worry about sometimes dying like it's a bad thing. They say, I'm a Christian, but they don't want to die. Why not? You're going to receive your reward. It makes me wonder. If we as Christians are so afraid to die, what are we doing wrong in our life that makes us afraid to go visit Jesus? I mean, come on. Jesus goes to his hometown, and this is the reception he gets. He'd been out performing miracles. He'd been out healing people. He had been out doing things, and people were beginning to follow him. People were amazed by him. Even in his hometown, they were amazed by his teaching, but they refused to accept it because they knew him before he went into the ministry, before he claimed to be the Son of God. Now, here's the thing that really gets me, okay? Do you remember the part where his mother got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And everybody knew she said that. Everybody in the town knew she said that. Everybody. I mean, folks, if you just think about how fast bad news travels here. You know, the gossip goes,
"How did you hear so-and-so's pregnant, not married?"
That's not as big of a deal anymore as it used to be. But back then, it was terrible. You get stoned for that. So everybody knew that she was pregnant and claimed that she was pregnant by God, by the Holy Spirit. And yet, when Jesus grows up and begins to teach and to preach, the people are amazed at his teaching, but they're not connecting the dots. You see what I'm getting at? They're not saying, wow, let's see, maybe he really is the Son of God, like Mary said. No, they're not thinking that way. They're thinking, hey, you're the little rugrat that used to get in my way all the time. I remember when you used to go to a Sunday school and you were a snot-nosed little brat always telling everybody how wrong they were in their teaching. You tried to correct the teachers. Well, no wonder. He had a right to. And the same thing happens today, folks, when we go to present the gospel to people. People want to find all kinds of excuses, all kinds of reasons why they should not believe. And I tell you, the devil, the world, and the flesh offer you a multitude of reasons not to believe. But there is one good reason why we should all believe. Jesus is the truth, the way, the life, and the truth. You put your faith in him, you go to heaven. You don't, you go to hell. People today, you know, I remember the old fire and brimstone preachers always scaring you literally almost to death and explaining to you how bad hell is with the fire and the brimstone and the worm dieth not and, you know, you're constantly burning in hell flames and no way out. There's, you know, it's horrible down there. There's no water. There's no peace. There's no God other than Satan. There is nothing good in hell. And I remember thinking about that and I'm thinking, I mean, I'm here, this preacher's going on and I'm sitting here shivering thinking, ooh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. And then he turns the other side and starts talking about paradise. He starts talking about heaven and how wonderful heaven is. You're constantly in the presence of Jesus Christ, your Lord. You get to see him face to face. You get to sit down with him. You get to sit down with all the saints of old. You get to visit your old family members that all died in Christ. You sit down at this big table and this big picnic and anything you want, it's there. And you're walking on the streets of gold and you're going by the crystal sea and you're up here walking along with Peter and Paul, James, John, and talking to them, asking them, what was it like when you were in the lion's den? Daniel, what was it like when you were in that fire? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What was it like when you thought you were about to be consumed by the fire, but all of a sudden you look up and there's Jesus or an angel in there with you. And you're walking around and nothing, it's not touching you. You're walking in the flames and it don't touch you. Much better experience than you recently had, Kathy. Sorry. But we know that these things really happened. We don't have to question it. We know it happened. It's documented. It's written down by witnesses, eyewitnesses, non-believing eyewitnesses. But trust me, afterwards they were believers. They may not have worshiped God the way that they should have, but they believed he was able to deliver his own. Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart, with all of my being. This was so bad when he came home to visit that it says that he could not do many miracles there because of a lack of faith. Do you think maybe that's one of the reasons why we don't see many miracles today? Because there's a lack of faith. Now, I'm not trying to say that if we just have faith, that causes miracles. But I will say this, without faith, there won't be any. We know that for a fact. I, for years, did not believe that miracles happen today, folks. I was taught that. And I believe that all the miracles, that happened back then were all we needed for today to build faith so that we can trust in what was recorded of what happened without having to witness. And there is truth in that, okay? I'm not saying there's not, because if we don't believe what the Bible says about the miracles that happened in the past, we certainly will never see a miracle in this life. Now, I used to have a very narrow definition of a miracle. But God has broadened that for me. God has shown me, he says, what do you think it's called when a woman is married, has three children, has a husband that is an alcoholic or a drug addict, and he takes all the money, leaves her with nothing to take care of the children, and then ultimately he leaves her for another woman, and here's a single mother with these children doing the best that she can to survive, to get by. And she not only goes to work and works and takes care of those kids and raises them for God, but also sends them all to college. He asked me, what do you call that? Isn't that a miracle? Would you agree with that? I mean, come on, folks. That's God intervening because this woman loves him and has asked for his help. Was it easy? Nope. God never promised us an easy life. But he did promise that whatever we go through, we never go through it alone, because he will always be there. And you know what's going on in our world today? All of the hatred, all of the bitterness that's being displayed, all the division that the devil is trying to stir up and strife. We have to be smart enough to not take sides, to not take part. The only side that we need to be on is Jesus' side. Amen? Amen. And being on Jesus' side means that our hearts are filled with love, not hatred, not bitterness, not anger towards those who are doing these things. If we have a righteous anger, that's okay, because if someone is standing up declaring that Jesus is not real, if someone's standing up and taking the Lord's name in vain in public, then we have a right to have a righteous indignation. Hey, wait a minute. You're talking about my God, buddy, and it ain't going to happen. Now, we can do that. But if we want to take sides on this program, whites and blacks, rich and poor, left and right, no, sorry, that don't work. That don't work. We have to take Jesus' side. Jesus is in the middle of it all. Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the one that loves all people, no matter what their background. They can be bitter and hateful, but Jesus still loves them, the same as he loves you and me. He wants them to change. And if we get in arguments with them and we get to getting back and getting even with them, how are we ever going to win them to Jesus? We have to show the love of Christ to them. Does that mean that we can't tell them they're wrong? Nope. Jesus called the Pharisees a brood of vipers. And that got their attention. They were like, "What? Who do you think you are? I'm going to kill you." Well, ultimately they did. But, you know, that was all part of the plan. But somebody cannot correct their wrong if they think it's right. And nobody ever tells them that it's wrong. Folks, we need to get back to the basics of the scripture. We need to get back to the basics of Christianity. We need to come back to our first love, as it says in the book of Revelation. We have strayed away. The church has lost focus of its purpose, which is to love and to serve Jesus Christ. Not to be a social club, not to have all the programs to make everybody happy, but to really love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, with that thought in mind, how are we doing? Do we need to repent? Do we need to get before Jesus and pray for ourselves first? How can you help your brother if you have a beam in your own eye and you ignore it and he's just got a little speck? We come to Christ for ourselves first. Get right with God. And then we can begin to pray for our nation. And the Bible's very clear. If my people who are called by my name will come to me, repent, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will heal their land. How are we doing? What do we need to do? If you have a need, just mind the Lord. Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 394, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. If you have a need this morning, you need to accept Jesus as your Savior. If you'd like to place your membership with our branch of the family, if you just feel like you need to join the family, come as we sing. Let's stand.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
when my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen.
Brother Mitch, do you have anything else?
We'll have Bible study at 5 o'clock. Bible study at 5 o'clock tonight. And by the way, I was made aware during Sunday school that I have my holy shirt on. I didn't know it had a hole in it. But
more holy than righteous.
Yeah, that's okay, though. I'm getting plenty of air.
And would you dismiss us, please?
All right, let's pray. Father God, wow, you're so awesome. We are so blessed to know you and to be known by you, the God who created all that exists and sustain all that exists, including us. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Stoke our fires. Draw us close. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joined heirs with Jesus, as we travel this sod, are a part of the family of God. Okay. Have a seat. Just enjoying the little one a little bit.
Amen.
Yep. Our own little personal miracle, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.